Okay, we'll go ahead and call the Common Council meeting to order. It is 6:01 p.m. on Tuesday, September 28th, 2021. Let's stand and say the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
Weigle.
Here.
Varga.
Here.
Middleton.
Here.
Crowder.
Here.
Romano.
Present.
Very smooth.
Yeah.
Very smooth. In front of you are the minutes from our last meeting on September 14th, 2021. Were there any changes or corrections? Hearing none, can I have a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Jennifer, second by Tad. Further discussion? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It is unanimous. Okay, next up is the public hearing for the budget. We have duly published it, correct, Rosie? And so a couple of things that that I want to make sure you're aware of. You all know generally about the budget, so I'm not going to bore you too much. But obviously we've put increase in there, obviously, for our employees. The majority of the budget is pretty well just continuing the kind of the things that we've done. There's a few pieces in there that you all know we're kind of focusing in on. I forgot to bring my folder, so I'm going to have to try to do this in a sideways manner here. But overall, I think some of the things we were... Do you have my... Yeah, that would be a starting spot. I didn't bring my notes, so I apologize, but I'm not ready for this because I forgot to go grab it in the interim. But
we had the insurance costs go up along with our suggested rate.
So the insurance in and of itself, we don't have a finalized number on yet. Our HR director, Beth, is telling me that it's probably somewhere around 6%, but we don't know that for a fact yet, okay? So we should be getting, actually within the next month, right?
Mm-hmm.
We should be getting that information here very shortly, but we did kind of take that into account in determining the actual raise for our employees. Well, no, not really, because 6% of... If it's 6% of what they're paying, the increase is 6%, it's not 6% of their wage.
Gotcha.
Okay, so keep that in mind. Actually, one of the things we actually calculated was if it's a 5% wage increase for our employees, if you include the 6% insurance plus the potential fee for the clinic that we're doing, it ends up being about a little more than a 3% increase for
I
the
think
employees.
That's a misconception.
Okay.
It's happening throughout the groups.
Okay.
Because from what I heard from the grapevines, it says, hey, we're getting a 5% raise, but the insurance increased 6%.
Yeah. Yeah.
So how that's working out is a misconception.
Yeah. So
the various grapevines that I've been hearing.
So two things I would comment to that. The first thing would be number one, we don't have that finalized number for the insurance. Once we do, we always have meetings with all of our employees.
Early November, typically, right?
Or in November, typically, to go through not only the insurance information, but to go through evaluations, to go through all the policy changes, things like that. So that'd be the first thing I'd say.
Okay.
The second thing I'd say is that again, 6% of insurance costs is not 6% of wage. So right. There's not really much I can say to that except for that that's a clear calculation thing. But as always, employees, I'm happy to entertain questions if employees have questions about that. But I think it's a very fair. Increase looking around at other entities around us and what they're giving. Obviously, Columbia City is growing, and it's very important that not only do we include our employees who are doing a lot of the work in that regard, and as a part of that, but number two is is that as we battle the wage increases happening in other companies and other organizations around us, we want to make sure that we continue to be an employer of choice so we get good quality employees in all of our departments.
Well, I'm not attacking.
I'm just merely trying to explain kind of where we're at.
I'm just trying to make sure everybody is understanding what's happening.
I think it's a great question. So as a kind of a side note to this, and again, you know, we put money in for the school property, the former high school property, and trying to kind of improve that. We've moved some things around in local option income tax, low at dollars, but nothing that's significant. Trail extension, we're going to continue kind of that. As we talked about, we've carried money over for that, and we've put some dollars in that. Cume Fire, for instance, we've moved around some money in there to do building repairs. They have appliances in the fire department that are like from the 90s, so we felt like it's probably a good time to upgrade those since those individuals live there for 24 hours to make sure that we're addressing those kind of things. There was a minor increase in EDC payments to help support the work of the Economic Development Corporation. Again, put some additional CEDAT money in for the CCHS property, the former CCHS property. But again, overall, this budget is really kind of continuing what we've been doing. You guys have all seen the budget. You know what it is. And kind of in addition to that, just as an FYI heads up, is that at the next meeting, I'll be giving you or presenting to you kind of an idea concept that Rosie and I kind of came up with regarding the American Rescue Plan dollars, the $2 million plus that we already have half of it. You guys know a lot of the stuff we've been talking about that is part of that. The barn, the park storage facility being one of those, the downtown and public Wi-Fi at the park being one of those things that you guys already know about. So we'll be talking more about that at the next meeting. That's not really a part of this, but it is all money. So questions? I know I probably have answered a lot of your questions in the past anyways, but thanks for asking. There you go. Okay, with that, we will recess the Common Council meeting and open the floor for the public hearing for the 2022 budget. Because there's nobody in the audience, I'm assuming the press has no questions at the moment, we'll go ahead and conclude the public hearing for the 2022 budget, and we will move that to a passage. Do we need to vote on it first time?
Yes.
We need to vote on the budget first time now, and then
will be on the 12th.
The adoption of the budget will be on the 12th, okay? So with that, if there's no questions, comments, concerns, I'll ask for a motion to approve the budget on first reading.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Dan, seconded by Jennifer, I think. I missed it, so I'm sorry. I have a motion, second. Further discussion? All those in favor, show by the usual sign. It is unanimous, and we'll move that to the second reading of the budget at the next meeting. Next up is resolution number 2021-23. Do I have a motion to read by title only?
So moved. Second.
Motion by Jennifer, second by Jenny. Further discussion? All those in favor, show by the usual sign. It is unanimous. Please read resolution number 2021-23 by title only.
Resolution 21-23, Whitley County Multi-Hazard Mitigation Plan Adoption.
As you'll remember at the last meeting, our EMA director was here to discuss kind of this multi-hazard mitigation plan and requested a resolution of local adoption to help with that five-year process five-year plan, as well as to help with future funding opportunities through that multi-hazard mitigation plan. Any questions? Okay, can I have a motion to approve resolution number 2021-23?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Tad, seconded by Jenny. Further discussion? All those in favor, show by the usual sign. It is unanimous. Thank you. Next up is ordinance number 2021-24. Do I have a motion to read by title only?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Tad, seconded by...
She can have it.
Jennifer. Further discussion. All those in favor, show by the usual sign. It's unanimous. Please read ordinance number 2021-24 by title only.
Ordinance 2021-24, an ordinance amending Chapter 75, Traffic Schedules of Title 7 of the Code of Ordinance of the City of Columbia City, Indiana.
Was this created, who created this ordinance? Marcia. Marcia? Okay. I'm assuming, Marcia, I know you're on the phone there. Was that in conjunction with Kelly or anybody else?
I believe it came out of Kelly actually provided me the information, but then some changes were made to that. So it's, but mainly the information came from Sally.
Okay, so it came out of Ordinance Review Committee?
Mm-hmm. It was discussed there.
No. So I guess Kelly.
Okay. So as I understand, this ordinance is to change. So in the ordinance itself, the current ordinance, the no parking schedule, has these two streets, North Street between Main and Whitley Street between Collinwood and Brownwood. They currently have a time limit on when they can and can't be, they can and can't have parking there. And so it's the recommendation to go to no parking at any time on those two streets. Yes. Because I know there is, being someone who drives that area frequently, I know that there is a little bit of a bob and weave pattern, especially on Whitley Street. I'm sorry, especially on North Street as you approach Whitley from Main. I don't know, notice as much bob and weave on Whitley Street, but still, I know that it's they're both a time frame, and you know, as the park area develops on the old high school property, it's a good opportunity that there may be bigger crowds that be there. And
I think there's expectation that in the future, that parking lot may be full, and then people will start parking on the street
on the
out
street.
There, and
gotcha.
That could be problematic.
Sure.
For emergency vehicles and
sure.
So forth.
Okay. Questions about this ordinance? Okay. Hearing none, can I have a motion to approve Ordinance 2021-24 on first reading?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Jennifer, seconded by Walt. Further discussion? All those in favor, show by the usual sign. It is unanimous. We'll move that to second reading at the next meeting. Okay. Next up is a discussion on ATV UTVs, and I'm assuming this is coming from our friends in the Ordinance Review Committee.
Yes, it is. as you know, this has been discussed continuously for at least the past 6 years and probably longer.
Yes.
As we discuss golf carts and ATVs. It was a previous opinion that these could be problematic for us, particularly if they were to go on the greenways and that sort of thing. We've discussed this more and have come to the conclusion that the process to license those, the ATVs, is significant enough that it may be okay to consider them in town. I mean, it would still be problematic if somebody's driving one on the trails, but
sure.
Our police department now has some and could actually chase one of those vehicles down.
Sure.
So if that was happening, it could be dealt with. In the past, that wasn't necessarily the case. So
I think the definition of what it should be is side-by-side. You go with a four-wheeler or a
two-wheeler. There's so many different names for these things.
Yeah, if we go with the side-by-side, that probably is a little more understanding by the rule of the term. Because, like I say, the biggest concern is how fast and you know what they could do with them. Is, but at the same time, they could do the same thing with a car.
Mm-hmm.
So with our police department being able to now take them as a golf cart, cars too. So it's like, to be fair, you know, it's probably time that we look at regulating these things.
The other thing about it too is if you compared one of the side-by-sides with a golf cart, you're almost safer riding in the side-by-side than the golf cart. You have to have a seatbelt in there, and we had agreed a long time ago that we weren't going to get into that with golf carts. You know, I don't know that you want to be in either one of those vehicles and be hit by a car.
Sure.
But, you know, the other complicating factor is that you can have them out in the county, and you know, it's pretty easy to pass right through Columbia City with, yeah, with one. So
I think originally, to do our due diligence, we intentionally held off because we didn't have enough data or knowledge of the risk involved. And so, what, has it been 5 years plus? So, I mean, we've got 5 years of history under our belt at the minimum. Mm-hmm. And knock on wood, I don't know if I've seen or read or heard about an incident, but they're still responsible for their own actions and driving, mm-hmm, following the rules.
And they have to be licensed through the BMV, so.
In order to be on public streets? Mm-hmm. Okay. So,
Gary,
I'm sorry.
The side-by-sides have to obey all the rules of the road. If there's a child under 18, they have to wear a helmet. So they have to abide just by like a motorcycle. And like I said, they do have the seat belts. You know, I heard a couple people say they brought up issues about the noise, and then they say, well, they're no louder than a Harley motorcycle going through your neighborhood. And, you know, a lot of times they have their music blasted, plus they're loud vehicles anyway. So, yeah, I agree with the council. You know, a lot of cities are doing it now. I know South Whitley allows them, and people go down there, and they meet down there in big groups and get gas and support the city. So I know that's one thing that a couple of them people have came to me and talked to me about discussing it with council or the committee and allowing them. And again, they have to obey all the rules, so if they're not obeying the laws, then that's where we come in as police officers and use our judgment.
As long as we define the definition of what they are. The four-wheelers don't fly through.
Right, I agree with that. We need to make sure it's a side-by-side, side, not a four-wheeler.
Right.
On our clerks list, this has been quite a topic of discussion, and a lot of the clerks have been presenting their ordinances that they have. So I was going to see what Marcia has, but maybe give her some samples of what other towns
that would be great
have created.
I have a lot of examples, but you know, they're all fairly different, so I haven't been able to hear any of the conversation, but I just wanted to interject because I could hear you, Rosie.
Okay. Okay.
This is an ordinance issue, so the council, you ultimately have the authority to make these decisions. I guess from a practice perspective, the one thing I guess I would ask would be is, obviously we license golf carts with a golf cart sticker, if you will. So I'm assuming that if you were to take the step to specifically define what this other vehicle that you're now going to allow on the streets is, that would there be a separate permit? Would it just be a modified where we're now putting that permit on all the different things?
Well, I think we'd have a problem with that because they're already licensing them through the BMV with their DNR registration.
Right. So I think they would need to go through our process.
In order for them to be on the roads, they have to be licensed.
Sure.
So, I mean, it's kind of like with a jet ski. We don't want to double license them to have the same privileges.
Right. Yeah, and that was some of the discussion with the clerks on the clerk's list that the DNR was getting upset with the cities because they were something about these permits. So I think, yeah, Marcia Pine needs to really investigate that part of it.
I mean, as it were, if they were in town and they weren't permitted through the state, you would be able to pull them over. So.
Right.
It'd be the same thing if they didn't have a license plate on a car.
And why you bring that up, we did have someone move here from Montana, and they had it in town. This is kind of what prompted some of this discussion. They were driving through town, one of our guys stopped them, and they're like, I'm licensed, I have a legal license plate on this vehicle, and I'm allowed to drive it on the roadway. Well, that's in Montana, they issue them license plates, we issue them, the state of Indiana issues them a sticker. So that kind of was like, one of the guys came to me and said, well, what do we do? I mean, they really have a license plate on there. So that kind of prompted some.
I couldn't see any difference between the ATV or a golf cart. Bigger wheels, a little noisier, a lot safer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I've spent a lot of time side by side.
And with that, and also, Ted, you know, we did have someone driving a golf cart down Main Street at 20 mile an hour. These UTVs can actually go the speed limit.
Oh, yeah.
And we had a state trooper stop this guy and tell him he couldn't be on there. So that prompted the discussion with the prosecutor, us, and the state police as far as the golf cart ordinance as well. And the prosecutor leaned our way and said, you know, we put, you drive on all city streets except US 30.
Right.
So
that's what our ordinance says.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So he went with our, you know, so he told the state trooper you can't ride it, but it is a little bit of a hazard, and I wish the people that ride the golf carts would stay on the back streets and just use the main streets as minimal as possible. But.
So the question is, do we need to define what is the makeup of this vehicle from having license plate lights to how many lights can I have on? Or
I don't know that we even need to get into that because the state has already decided how to license those vehicles.
Okay.
We've just said up until this point they can't be here.
They can't be, yeah, on it, yeah.
But the state is licensing them. Now, the difference between the golf carts is the golf carts aren't licensed by the state. They're licensed by our police department or our city. So,
okay.
I mean, I think it'll be, in some respects, kind of easy to determine because they have to go through the BMV to be licensed, and if they don't, then obviously they can be pulled over.
And I think maybe we just need to, I think, define what a side-by-side and UTV is and not just the off-road vehicle. Because if you say off-road vehicle, that includes the four-wheelers.
Dune buggies, all kinds of things.
So we need to, I think.
So the assistance come from the BMV to give you a document that says this is what we use for guidelines to book
the license? Because they also register the four-wheelers, too, in the county. But I don't think we want a bunch of four-wheelers running around Columbia City.
But I'm sure they have some sort of guidelines where, you know, they license one or the other based on certain criteria. So we should be able to get a pretty cut-and-dry description.
Right.
Because they probably don't give the same license for both of those exactly the same, or do they? I don't know.
I think they do.
Do they?
I could probably check with the DNR and see, because they go out and inspect and stuff. But I can do my due diligence.
You could almost define it, though, as, most side-by-sides, it's kind of hard because some are only two-seaters, but most of them are four to six-seaters, too. So you might look at those definitions. I just pulled up one definition, but it does say small 1 to 6%, which we could just define if they have to be side-by-side people, not, and you could say, like, examples of, you know, the Ranger, whatever examples you want to do, and it has to be a similar model.
Is it the thought of the Ordinance Review Committee or the Council in this regard that there would still be age restrictions and things to that effect on the side-by-side versus, because we already have age restrictions on the golf cart, which obviously has been kind of contested by some residents, not many, but some.
Well, what's the state?
I would recommend just follow the state statute on it.
And that's what I would
exactly.
do, too.
I don't think we want to get into the weeds.
Well, I don't know. What is the state statute?
Well, I don't know.
You probably have to be a licensed driver to drive.
A licensed driver.
I get to drive. I guess I'm saying
pass. You have to have a helmet. If you're under 18, you have to have a helmet on in
okay.
the vehicle.
And so I don't think you're going to be putting helmets on babies. So.
Sure. I understand that.
So that's what the typical seat belts and all
yeah,
that.
Seat
right.
Belts,
they have seat belts.
And probably if the BMV isn't going to license it, then it doesn't need to be on our roads.
Right.
I think it's a clean D mark.
Yeah. So what would the council like to do?
I would like to go ahead and get an ordinance appropriated to allow, you know, have Marcia work at it and put something together for us.
I agree.
Marcia, hear that? You got homework now.
Marcia's like,
I kept hearing about every 40th word.
So
I think I'm going to have somebody write out what I'm supposed to do. I'm really sorry.
Okay. So, Jennifer, if it's okay with you as ordinance review, why don't you get with Marcia and give her information? And I agree. I mean, I think Gary had passed on a bunch of different ordinances that were kind of passing through the list, which is maybe what you were discussing. For UTVs and ATVs, right, that at least have some sample kind of what they're doing. Marcia, I know you have access to that as well. So maybe seeing what some of these other communities are doing and how they're regulating, if they're regulating, and just, you know, again.
I sent a bunch of those to the committee, and then I just stopped because so many of them were coming through. The issue with the DNR, I heard a little bit about that. But that is certainly something that I think the committee needs to be aware of as to where that may be headed and whether that's going to, you know, cause us to look at our language if we decide to do this. Again, I missed most of this conversation. I'm sitting right here, but I can't hear it. Maybe the committee just needs to get together after this meeting and discussion and decide what to do. The other thing we're doing, just a side note, is we are updating. The plan is to update the code anyway to have a better reference to the state code, because I know you were talking about age and et cetera. So that was one of the things we were going to do anyway.
Okay. Sounds like a plan. Is that what you wanted? Jennifer? I'm sorry. Is that what the committee wanted?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Okay. So we'll... have you guys touch base and move toward some kind of an ordinance regarding those? So, thank you. Update for you, it's not on the agenda, but I wanted to give you an update on our redistricting work. So as a reminder, the redistricting committee, Rosie, myself, Marcia, Dan, and Jess Hockmeyer from the county clerk's office. So at the last meeting, as I mentioned, we were struggling to find a way to create four geographically balanced and population balanced districts. The good news is that Jess worked on this and was a genius and came up with four geographic and population balanced districts. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that you guys may not want to move to three districts and two at large.
You might want to move to a different district.
No. Basically, what she did, actually, so I'm going to add a caveat before I show you these. First caveat is the precincts have changed. So these are Dan's maps, okay? So I have no... pride of authorship, it's all Dan. The precincts themselves have not been approved. Those are scheduled to be approved by the county commissioners by the end of the year. So my hope would be is that if this is the idea, the plan that you all want to run through, that at the first meeting of 2022, we accept these districts, okay?
Districts.
Because the precincts, the county commissioners have to approve. So, with that, there are multiple maps and Dan can explain what each of them are. Because I think they're generally the same, so we can just pass them down. Do you want to pass that one down? And then here's another one. Okay, so as you know, we have 10 different precincts that are within the city of Columbia City. You can take a look at these in a moment, first of all, okay? Nine precincts in the city of Columbia City. The Southeast District has Columbia 2 and Union Columbia City. The Southwest District has Columbia 7, Columbia 1, and half of Columbia 8 currently. The Northwest District has Columbia 3 and Columbia 5. And then the Northeast District has Columbia 4 and Columbia 6 and half of Columbia 8, okay? I know I'm talking a lot of numbers. We'll get there, I promise. So, in the maps that are in front of the two of you, Walt, you don't have this map in front of you, but you've seen it already. Columbia 8 was split currently between Jennifer and Walt because of how things worked out. The clerk's office really wanted to get away from splitting a precinct because it's a lot of paperwork, and it's challenging to make sure the right ballot gets to the right person. We also had to balance the population in each of those council districts, as well as try to get some geographic balance in the actual precincts themselves. Okay? So what you see in Jennifer in front of your map is the four districts as they're kind of reworked.
Okay.
In order to kind of take in the right population balance. And actually, Dan, go ahead.
When you're looking at the way things are broke, this map here demonstrates where they used to be. The colors are the way we're proposing them to be. The balance is out with population with the Northwest District comes out with 2,480. The Southwest District comes out with 2,473. The Southeast District comes out with 2,334, and the Northeast District comes out with 2,476. So you're less than 5% difference in population, and the rules are where you have to be within at least 10%. So the way she broke up the precincts, it's not a lot of change, but there was a little shift in a couple of the census blocks that we were able to, or Jessica was able to.
Yes.
Move a couple of the census blocks around to create the new precincts, which they change a little bit, but not a whole lot. And this is honestly one of the best moves that we could come up with.
Yes.
And still keep the four districts.
Just judging my own district, I think it makes a lot more sense than the previous one did. Yeah. Mine had a weird figure that extended really far down this way.
Yes.
It was only
not even a block deep.
A couple blocks, but still, yes, you're right. It wasn't. It was a weird. They kind of split a portion of sort of downtown.
They have a map that shows where the differences are.
Yeah.
The yellow lines are where they used to be, and the color is.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Ah.
Yeah. So that explains.
What we have over here is the past. The yellow is the past census or the precincts, and the colors now, so you can see how this was adjusted now, so we took that out, added that, took away, 8 was split in half, because that was 8, now it's all 1.
So,
I can pass this down to you.
So as a reminder, as we talked about the last,
be your new district.
At the last meeting, we talked about how Tad and Jenny's district had grown more than the other two districts had. And so in order to make the population balance, we had to change around some of the precincts and change around some of the way in which it works. So effectively what is being proposed is some minor changes to Columbia 4 and Columbia 8, Columbia 8 would be fully into the Northeast District. Columbia 4 would expand into the Northeast District. would be extended in there. Is this the new map?
This is the...
Yeah, gotcha. Sum of two would go into one. So, again, without showing the pictures, it makes sense. But, again, as a reminder, we can't do anything until the county commissioners approve the precincts. Once they approve the precincts, then we can effectively move and so I'm tentatively scheduling this for the first meeting in January. So then we're all ready to go basically a year, almost 2 years ahead of the actual election.
But we had to get the precincts set.
Yes.
For
the county.
The county election.
Yep.
So that all just broke up and that one, when you look at the current situation with the county, the county grew too much. It threw everything out of balance with the council. How many councils did? Then we have to look at Jessica made a great map of how we're going to break up the city instead of the city being under one county council person. It's more than likely that we're going to have two.
We'll have two because
we'll
of our population.
That'll be
people
good.
People representing from the city on the county council. So we're going to draw those up as we speak, basically. So they're going to have a couple options she wanted to present to the commissioner.
To the county.
The county council. The commissioner's on the 4th of October.
Yeah.
So actually, we're one of the first around to get it all done.
Yep.
So.
And again, our goal in doing this was to try to ensure the compactness, because we're mandated to do that, but make sure the districts are compact, that they're population balanced, and that their kind of communities of interest are together, if you will. And I think the nice thing is that we've been able, especially with Columbia 8 being split between two council members, we were able to kind of usurp it into the Northeast District, while also expanding the Southwest District into more of the area to pick up more population to balance that out. As we talked about the last time, the census blocks themselves posed a huge challenge because of the way in which they look and the way in which they're crafted. That is nothing we at the local level, county level, can adjust. I don't even think the state can actually adjust, maybe, but we're... I hope you're seeing this as good news, because after our first meeting, I was really discouraged, and now I'm really encouraged that Jess is a magic maker, and she could adjust the precincts to make it so that we have balance in that nobody is effectively, I guess, number one, and again, we don't know what we're doing for election, nor does it matter, but that the districts say generally how they work, with some minor adjustments. So I think the biggest adjustment actually, Tad, is yours. But again, it's because your district is growing pretty quickly. So
yeah, like I say, when she came up with the numbers, and I'm like, you can't hardly get any closer.
No, those are very, very close population numbers. You are correct.
So hats off to her. She just did wonderful work.
So, but I thought it was important to kind of get that in front of you all so that it's so that you're aware, and full transparency, obviously. Once the county commissioners approve or certainly adjust those precincts, they have that ability. I doubt they will. But if they do, we may have to go back to the table and figure that out. We hope they don't adjust them, but they have that authority if they want to.
And if you have any questions, please give me a call.
Yeah.
I like the new map. I think that in a lot of ways it makes more sense than the current situation.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm sure when someone thinks of living in the Southwest District, they don't expect to be parts of what kind
Northeast of Maine and Van Buren.
Right.
Well, this is locked in place for 10 years, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you go back and look at what's happened in the past 10 years, I think that's how we got into some of these circumstances, just because of growth and time. And so that's why 10 years ago it probably looked pretty good, you know. Mm-hmm. Today it doesn't even match what we call the integrity of where we want it to be.
So I guess two other notes regarding redistricting that is not having to do with local. If you've seen the House and Senate Republican maps that have been put out for the legislature, You'll know that the proposal right now at the legislature is that we would keep Chris Judy as our representative, barely, especially in Jenny's district. In a union, Union Township as a whole is actually under, is proposed to be under Dave Abbott, but Union Columbia City has been carved out for Chris Judy to keep our city under one representative. Conversely, on the Senate map, we have been redistricted into Justin Bush's district. Justin Bush represents kind of the western side of Fort Wayne, and actually Whitley County as a whole, pretty sure Whitley County as a whole would then fall under Justin Bush rather than Andy Zay. Andy Zay's district would go more south, hit the rest of Grant County. So again, those maps I don't think have been formally finalized yet. But obviously, with political realities, supermajority of Republicans in the Senate and the House, it's probably gonna move forward. So I say that just so that you're aware. If you've not seen the maps, that's kind of how it's crafted. Interestingly, I think Chris, Representative Judy, takes in more of Fort Wayne and actually shrinks his district in Whitley County. It splits. I just lost it. Richland Township by U.S. 30. So everything south of 30, basically, in Whitley County is Chris's district. Everything north would be Dave Abbott's district. We've worked with both those legislators as well as both of those senators that I mentioned today, and have a good working relationship with all four of those individuals, so I'm not really concerned either way. But I just wanted to make sure you were aware as we're moving toward that redistricting process for our state, for our county, for our city. Okay? Cool. Okay, with that, I'll quit talking and for the moment pass it over to Mike Shoda for a department report.
We're going to start the Jefferson Street water main replacement there between Madison and Wayne this next week. Also, this week we had the generator out at East Tower plumbed in with LP gas, and they're going to fill the tank next week. And I think Ryder's Electric is going to go out and make sure everything runs fine.
Okay.
So then the generator will be on out there.
Questions to Mike? Thank you. Gary?
Well, as most of you know, the struggles with getting vehicles nowadays, we finally received our vehicle that we ordered back in January. 2 weeks ago, we was out of the cops gear now, getting everything installed in it. Also, at the Board of Works, City Ford also had a second vehicle that they ordered, and then for somebody. But then, in the meantime, that person got another vehicle from somewhere else, canceled their order. So, we had the opportunity to purchase that. We got the blessing from the Board of Works to purchase that vehicle, so it's the exact same vehicle that we just got. So. We don't have to wait another 8 months, 9 months to get that vehicle. Golf outing was rescheduled. It was scheduled for last Thursday. They rescheduled it for today. We originally had two teams in that. With the reschedule, I had people at training. I had three guys in interview and interrogation training this week. So they weren't able to. Two of those guys were signed up to do that. Anyways, we only had one team at the golf outing, but those guys had fun, and they said it was for a great cause, so that worked out good. And Gina's been doing some trainings herself, going over records keeping and redacting, and getting a lot of good information on that. Continue to go over policies and SOPs, and as far as dispatch goes, everything's working well, and they're going over SOPs and policies.
Questions of Gary? Thank you. Mike?
This week I had two manure guys. They worked on our compactor. They gained a lot of good experience and knowledge on that by tearing it apart and putting it back together. It is back up and running. All the repairs were done in-house. If you remember, I talked about the countertop units, about making our own RO water for our laboratory. Unfortunately, we've tested that unit for 2 weeks and it did not work out. It actually shows carbon on our filters when we run suspended solids on it, and then the DO jumps around and is not consistent, so we can't have that. We have to have a consistent DO for our laboratory water. So that unit's scheduled to be picked up on Thursday and sent back. There was a sinkhole over at Jefferson after we had all that big rain from construction. They came in, repaired it, exactly the opposite way that I asked for it to be done, so I made them, they're going to dig it back out and redo it the correct way. And then I tasked one of my staff for a goal this year to replace a control panel at Tarview lift station. Several years ago, we had different pumps put in, bases, piles, and things like that. And the control panel that's currently there has been there since I started. So it's probably the original one. And we're going to take a panel that we had from the old 700 East lift station, change some components out, and have that up and have a new control panel put in there. They're working with Kissinger Electric on that project. So,
questions of Mike? Thank you. Mark?
So this Saturday, well, Saturdays in general are really busy at the high school. We got a lot of football players going, games going on all day. So if you drive by there and see a bunch of cars, that's what's going on. So we get a lot of use out of that area right now. We also have a pickleball tournament this Saturday that your
youth
council is putting on. Cool. So that starts at 10 o'clock Saturday. So Saturday will just kind of be a crazy day over there. That's good. We also have concession stands going for pickleball and football. Mother-son party is scheduled for October 20th, I believe. That's a Friday night.
I think you put 22nd.
Maybe it's 22nd. Whatever that Friday night is.
22nd.
So we'll have tickets available for that. So that was kind of in question at first. We weren't sure if we were going to be doing that, but we are. The high school property, the old high school property, will get seeded starting the second week of October. So that'll be taking shape here soon. And the aquatic center is pretty much winterized at this point, so we've got a lot of work done over there. So that's it.
Questions of Mark? Any solution to the turkey buzzard issue yet?
No. Yeah. I have a lot of them.
What is a turkey buzzard's natural predator? That's the real question.
I don't know.
Candy yams.
What did you say?
Candy yams?
Like turkey, you know, turkey dinner.
Oh, turkey. Okay. He'll be here all night, folks.
Right there.
He'll be here all night.
Total dad joke.
Okay, very good. Thank you. Rosie?
Nothing.
Marcia?
Nothing.
A couple things to report. Tom sent me his fire report. So training facility is coming together nicely. It should be done by the end of this month or it says by the end of the month, it'll be closed. So I'm assuming that's the end of this month, but maybe not. I don't know. 105 was involved in an accident on US 30, and he was actually in the vehicle when it happened. They were blocking traffic for another accident, and a gentleman had a medical issue and rear-ended them. No injuries, minor damage to 105, but the other guy's vehicle was totaled. So thankfully, nobody was hurt dramatically, and that the medical issue was taken care of afterwards. But and he said thanks goes out to the electric, street, and water departments for all their help regarding the training facility. A couple other things that I am working on, just for your information. Talked about redistricting, but I've had a meeting with the United Way, the new United, well, I guess new to us, United Way director. Darren Bickle, who is over Kosciuszko and Whitley County's United Way, because they have joined forces. And I think had a pretty good, productive conversation today. And they're going to be rolling out more things for Whitley County now that they've really started kind of growing and building that. Our Rotary Club went to the solar park today to do a little tour of that. And appreciate Cordell Smith, I forgot his name first time, from IMPA for helping with that. Youth Council is here tomorrow, and we'll be going to the wastewater treatment facility for a tour over there. And then I have U.S. 30 Coalition meeting on Friday, as well as the Domestic Violence Awareness Proclamation, and month begins in October. As an update on U.S. 30 Coalition, from what I'm understanding, is that the that NDOT has selected a vendor to do the Planning and Environmental Linkage Study, or PEL study. I don't have a whole lot of information on that, but as I understand, they've actually selected a vendor now, which is, I guess, good progress. In fact, we're actually making progress. It's good. I feel like there's something else I need to tell you. Obviously, AIM is next week at the AIM conference. Many of you are going to, and it's a really great time. I tell people sometimes that, you know, you don't want a doctor to rest on his experience from college 20 or 25 years ago. You hope that he or she is continually improving along the way. Same goes for elected officials, is that if we just stay in our little bubble and we don't go out and experience and talk to other communities and learn from them and learn what they did, it's really hard to continue to advance our community forward into the future, and certainly for our residents. So I think continued training is always a wonderful thing, and really thankful that many of you are taking that opportunity. I feel like there's something else I'm forgetting, but it must not be that important. So, well,
we're going on 2 years working on the Whitley County Regional Water Sewer District. Seems like it's been slow and turtle speed, but we've gained momentum. We are waiting for our loan to be processed. So what I have for you is the tentative locations. This isn't the, and it's not any sequential order, but at least if somebody says, hey, what are they doing here, or what are they doing there, you'll have an idea of where we're looking at. And the purpose of this is septic system limiting them from everybody having their own septic. So we're trying to get everybody to go through and get on a sewer district line. And so right now, Cherubusco West, Cherubusco South, Stable Acres, County Line Road, Quessy, and Dunphy, then land acquisitions to support a lot of that activity, and then of course we got funding that we're working through. We've made some great progress in the last 6 months. Things are really starting to, the gears are turning faster, but by no means I'm saying this is the final plan. It's not officially approved from the state and feds yet. We're just waiting for that last I to be dotted and T to be crossed, and then we can start looking at the process of how do we get the sewer district going. So there's rates involved, there's all kinds of things. This would be similar, you know, processes, but Tri-Lakes has their own septic system. I think, Marsha, you guys have your own septic system, and this would be an expansion of throughout Whitley County. So it's a good thing. We've got some residents who, unfortunately, until they get their septic system replaced, they can't put it on the market to sell it because nobody wants to loan and get a system that's not functional. So right now they're hauling every three months, they're hauling and dumping it, and then wait 3 months and dump it again. So we are impacting a lot of people throughout Whitley County. And so we've had pluses and minuses. We've had, you know, people who support it, people who don't support it. I just put my septic system in 2 years ago, and it's working fine. So I mean, those are some of the challenges that as a group that we're dealing with. And so it's not something that will happen overnight, but we're waiting for the approvals to get these stolen. That's it.
Okay. Thank you. Dan?
Nothing, sir.
Jennifer?
Nothing.
Tad?
Nothing.
Jenny?
Nothing.
Press? Okay. As a reminder, I will hopefully be presenting to you the ARP kind of plan idea, if you will, at the next meeting. And I feel like there's, is there anything else?
You'll be out of town.
What? Yes, I am.
Yeah. I can't think of anything.
Okay. Then we'll call the meeting adjourned. Thank you.